Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 12th of October. I am joined in the studio, just me and just Mark today. Mark Goldfinch, good morning.
Hi, Amanda. Oh, how exciting to be back.
I know.
And, it is a bit quiet in here.
It is quiet.
We have to do three people's work.
Yeah. Well, Mark is co-hosting and guesting today.
Yes, union rates. So I basically am doing two jobs, but I'll try and do them, try and discharge my co-host duties as well as I possibly can.
You'll be perfect. We know you are, definitely. I decided that Mark's been co-hosting for quite a while now.
Yeah, 6 months, I think.
It must be, yeah. And we haven't actually yet heard your story, and you have got such an amazing story. So we're going to cover that a little bit later on in the show. But it is the 12th of October. It is only probably, what, about 10 weeks till Christmas now, something like that?
My headphones went, but I just couldn't hear what you just said there.
So. That's fair on air. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to try not to count down every week till Christmas now. I'm just excited. I love Christmas.
I was just driving here on the motorway today. I drove today instead of getting the train. And there's basically autumn leaves flying across. There's gales. Athelbray's sent a picture of a stormy sea.
Yeah, they're down in Cornwall, aren't they?
Yeah, it's sort of like mountainous seas. We've got sort of winds and golden leaves flying over the M20. It's still very autumnal here.
It feels like it sort of suddenly landed on us, isn't it? It's like we had this really lovely summer and now it's autumn.
Yeah,
and I know it wasn't gradual. I know it was gradual, but it just seems like all of a sudden you say leaves are everywhere, everything changes.
That's quite often the case in the UK, isn't it? It's basically good, bad.
Bad, yeah, exactly.
Yes, okay. We wake up in the morning and seasons changed.
Yeah,
yeah. And sometimes you get those days where you have all the seasons in one day as well.
Yes, that's always interesting. You never know what to wear.
That's
layers,
that's
people, layers. So we are here today, and we want to hear from you guys out there. We have had a few tweets, but we still want to hear from you. How's your week been? How's it going? I've noticed a lot of people have got their heads down at this time of year. Lots of businesses, a lot of people, they're really busy. They've got their heads down. Last quarter, getting it out there, trying to get the last sort of as much as they can out of the last part of the year, making contacts and getting clients and everything. So,
well, there's this really long period between August bank holiday and something happens at the end of December, where there are no public holidays. It's basically half term, obviously, if you've got family. But it's basically head down from the end of August until the end of December, isn't it?
It's hard slog, get to it. Let's make that last effort before it gets to the end of the year. but let us know, what have you been up to? Although saying that, obviously we've had that tweet from Kate from Athelbray, who this last week was in Cornwall. Kate, you've just seem to be spending your entire time on holiday. You're obviously doing very well. Keep it up. We like that. But do give us a tweet on @BunkerExtra using hashtag BExtra, BeBunker. Let us know how your week's been, what you've been up to. You can call us in the studio. Have you got an event coming up? We have got some great events to share, but we want to hear from you. So give us a call in the studio on 01233 220035, 01233 220035, and please remember to tweet us that you're calling, because we can never see the phone flashing.
Amanda, has it ever rung?
Yes.
Has it?
Yes, it has.
Has it? What do you do?
Once you work out how to answer it. We had Barry Thompson from Me Now. He phoned a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And somebody else phoned. I think that was a sales call, though. That's quite funny when you get a sales call. I mean, in the middle of a radio show. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, because most people actually, you know, they contact us on social media or via email or something like that. So actually using the old telephonic device is a bit unusual.
Alien, isn't it?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's nice to see, you know, people phone in, and we can, you know, it's almost like we can get an extra guest on the show. It's great. We do still want to hear from you as well. If you've got an event coming up and you want to share it, email us at bunkextra with an X at gmail.com. And if you want to come on the show, we are fully booked until after Christmas now, but
next year
we've got a whole load of dates. If you want to come on, tell us all about yourselves, please do let us know. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, and our guest was Lucy Hall of Aviso Media, Social Day and Kickstart Social. Yeah. So it was great having Lucy in. We was talking obviously everything digital, everything social, but Lucy is running a new event, new to Kent. She ran it in London in March, called Kickstart Social Digital, which is on the 19th of May. We're going to give you more details about that a bit later. 19th of May, yeah. 19th of November, that's me wishing the year away already. No! But we are teaming up with Kickstart Social. So the Bunker Extra is teaming up with Kickstart Social. We're supporting them, they're supporting us. And I'm going to be on site on the day with my roving microphone.
And where is it?
It's at Buckmore Park.
Oh, so it's not just a dull old conference venue. It is Buckmore Park, isn't it?
It is actual Buckmore Park.
And are there sort of vehicles around?
Yeah, so what they're doing is you've got your event during the day, and then if you want a cart afterwards at the end of the day, fantastic. You can, which is always great. Not for me. Can you imagine wearing my dress and my high heels and then trying to get in a cart afterwards?
Oh, the helmet with the hair.
Yeah, exactly. No, the hair, the shoes, it just doesn't work. but it was a great show. So if you want to find out all more about Kickstarter, or if you want to hear what we were talking about, go to bizradio.co.uk and click on the extra tab, and all our previous shows are there.
76.
This is 76?
Yeah.
I worked it out. March. The end of March will be our 100th show.
Well, congratulations. All that hard work. And all the guests as well.
Exactly. Maybe we'll try and get all the guests. No, I don't think they'll work to get all the guests in one show.
We might have a bigger studio.
Yeah. Well, we can go in. We've got next door now. So we've got studio one next door. So we could just merge into the two studios.
Yeah.
We work on it. I've got a plan coming up now.
Have a reunion.
Have a bit of a party.
That'll be fun.
As if only I knew somebody who could organise an event for it.
Amanda.
Yeah.
We might do this later, but a little birdie says that actually you wanted to share some tips and tricks on events, because you know a thing or two.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we were having a bit of a rant off air, wasn't I, Mark?
Very, very polite.
It was a polite rant. You know what the trouble is? I've been living with Paul too long, so I've got the rant bug now. I always want to rant all the time.
It's good to have opinions, and it's also good to get them out into the world, you know? So,
worst thing, well, there's loads of great events coming up still towards the end of the year, and we're going to cover those in a minute. But yeah, I think sometimes a lot of people, when they speak to me and they come to me and want to talk about having an event, hosting their own event, one, they do it because somebody else has done it, so they think it's a good idea, or two, they want to do it, but they're not quite sure why. So it's really important for people, if they want to, you know, hosting an event is part of your marketing plan, it's part of your business plan. You have to have a strategy for it, you have to have a plan for it, you have to know what the end result of the event is. And you might have the most sorry, Paul's just WhatsApping me now, telling me off. The opinions, sorry, not rants, opinions, it's fine.
Yes, opinions are fine.
Opinions are fine. Strong, passionate opinions are always fine.
Passion.
And a lot of people, what they do, and they sometimes can put on absolutely amazing events, which is great. But if you don't know what you want to achieve out of the event, how do you know if the event's been successful? And the thing that gets me...
I'm laughing because I've got some stories I can tell you
about.
Yeah,
I bet. And the thing that gets me and really, really bugs me when I see, obviously, you know, it's like when you do a business, when you go somewhere to somebody else's, so if I go to somebody else's event, okay, I am overly critical, I apologise, but I'm always looking for things that...
Busman's holiday.
It is, and you know, you're looking for things that could be better or improved, or my God, wow, that was the most amazing event we've got to do, something like this. Yeah. So yes, I am a little bit critical, but you know, it's fine, people run events in different ways, but the main thing that always gets me is people, I don't think, utilise or capitalise on their event. All they do is they focus on that they want to have an event. And an event does actually take a lot of time to organise. Somebody actually said to me the other day, and I am going to use it as a quote a lot of times now, this event organising lark's a lot harder than you make it look, isn't it? And literally, that's what he said.
He said that to you?
He said that to me.
Well, that's a great testimonial to you.
Exactly.
It just shows, you know, because we know how hard you work to get these events up and running, and you've been, you know, gradually developing the series of events like the Networkers Networking and other events that you do. It's great that somebody doesn't realise. It just happens. It's like you push a button and everything.
Exactly.
You know, all the stands are there. Basically, the people are there. The venue's booked. The food's there. Everything's catered for. Yeah. It's like, and you just go and have a nice G&T.
Exactly. It's a hard work at all. And people don't. But also what they don't realise is not just about the day of the event. You know, part of hosting an event is not just about the day of the event.
I'll just let you pause for a breath, take a sit there.
There you go.
Because basically it reminded me of, I worked for an events company which held very good events in London. You know, fantastic venues like the Institute of Directors upstairs at the Institute of Directors, you know, which is a grand old Regency building, Cavalry and Guards Club and all sorts of, on Piccadilly, all sorts of fantastic places. But there wasn't really, although the events were lovely, there wasn't really a purpose to them.
No.
So that events company doesn't actually do anything anymore.
Really? Yeah, you surprised
me. It couldn't get any traction. But some of those events were awesome. Mm. You know, we had Zulu dancers in this amazing Regency room with all these 10, 20 foot high oil paintings looking out into Pall Mall. We had Zulu dancers.
Fantastic.
The whole building stops, basically. What is that banging? What are these Zulu dancers doing? It's a performing troupe. They came over from South Africa.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. So the South African High Commission was there, you know, a lot of diplomats.
Mm.
But eventually, you know, it was good networking, but really nothing happened. So
the other thing, I guess it's like running a business without a plan or a strategy, isn't it? It's like...
And people do that as well.
And people do that as well.
Let's make it up as we go along.
Yeah.
Not for really long, though.
No, and what people don't do, especially in this day and age, when you've got social media, okay? Social media is such a powerful tool if you use it right.
Yeah.
So you can do all the pre-event marketing, even if it's an invite-only event.
And you have to plan this.
Exactly. Yeah. You still need to get it out there. You need to get it social. You need to build the FOMO. I love this new word, FOMO. I think it's brilliant. The fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to create about your event. And on the day of the event, get somebody specifically to run your social media for you. Get the tweets going. Get the posts on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn going.
Have a wall. I love those walls.
The Twitter walls are fantastic. Walls, yeah. But get that traction going. So people that aren't there are like, oh, I'm so gutted I didn't go.
Yeah.
But they can still keep up. Because people can't always go to every event. That's fair enough. But they can keep up with it. And then post-event, keep the traction going by, we had such an amazing time. Did you see this speaker said this and this happened this? And
yeah, because don't forget, after the event, you should have, if you've planned
again,
you should have actually loads of photographs. You might have
the amount of content you've got.
Some little videos. You might even have some testimonials on video as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, plan to release all that over the weeks after the event.
Exactly.
As well.
It's all part of the whole, you know, running the event is not just about organising the date. It's all of the marketing around it, because it's this, you know, the big, huge keyword in marketing nowadays is content.
Yeah.
You know, and you can create so much content. If you're running an event to build the profile of yourself or your business, okay, just hosting the event and having people turn up does a small percentage of that. If all the social media and the coverage and the email marketing, everything you have around it, you know, do an email afterwards to your database. Thanks for coming off those things. I'm sure you missed it, but this is what you missed, you know, especially if you're going to run a more than one event.
Well, yes, think of it as a series.
Then you can build the traction of
basically if you have a segue basically between the earlier event and the later event, you can overlap the social media and sort of create that sense of occasion, because it's an occasion, not just an event.
Exactly.
It's not just people coming together. It's actually a sense of occasion that actually knowledge is transferred, people meet, you know, business is done. If it's that kind of networking meeting. Mm. So there's all sorts of opportunities there to get free content.
Exactly. Get the content. I mean, I won't name names, but there was an event that was run. But there was an event that was run this week, and it was quite a high end event.
They had
a really top end speaker. I couldn't go, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have a look online to see how it went, see what happened. Nothing. No posts whatsoever on social media about the event. And I'm like, oh. What happened? I want to know.
Was it cancelled? No.
Well, It could well have been. Who knows? But as far as I'm aware, it took place. So that's my rant, people. Have a plan. Put it in and, you know, decide what you want to get out of it.
You must
and
be
then,
extremely irritated. You know, basically,
it annoys me when people do this
professionally. You love doing it. You create awesome events. And then you see other people with a great opportunity. Well, I wouldn't say squander it, but, you know, they're not using it to, they're not exploiting it to its full,
exactly,
to its maximum
and
potential.
That's what it is. Yeah. And of course, if you don't know how to do it, or you'd like help knowing how to do it, come and contact me at butterflies2019 on the Twitter, or butterfliesevents.co.uk. There we go. There's my rant for the day. I feel so much better now.
Is the hour nearly up?
I know. We've run out of the time to switch you now. Running events are a fantastic way to get in front of your target audience, and it reduces down the amount of people you need to market to. It's fantastic. Events are a really great thing for all types of businesses, small, medium, large, to do, providing you do it well.
Yes.
And it's like everything else, you know, if you can't do it yourself, outsource. Find somebody who can do it.
That's right. Yeah, because it is a lot of work. So don't assume that you can actually all do it yourself or in house.
Exactly. Talking of events, so we've had our rant for the day, and we've given our tips and advice on how to help your business and your events. We've had
is
a few tweets.
Going to become a regular slot?
Yeah, I think we should do that. I might give some little tips to help you organise and run amazing events for your business, because smaller events you can organise and run yourself, but it still needs to be done well.
Dry cheese sandwiches with white bread, are they okay?
Yeah, okay, and no crisps, no balloons.
No crisps, cold coffee.
I went to an event on Wednesday and they had a fantastic award-winning coffee station.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't like coffee.
Oh.
There was no tea. There was no water.
Oh.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. See, people, if you know Amanda Flanders is coming to your event, make sure you've got everything covered. Otherwise, she's just going to make
it. Because
it
will be noticed.
Yeah, big time. we've had some shout outs. So we have said about lovely Kate from Athelbray Limited, who's on her way back from Cornwall. It was looking very wet and windy down there.
Tracy Ferguson. Yeah.
Lovely, oh, lovely Tassie 64.
Yeah, have a great show.
She was on a few weeks ago. Yeah. Hear Tracy's story, which is great. Tracy Emerton, VA, who is new joining us in the business world. She only started a business a couple of months ago.
Welcome.
And welcome to the Business Bunker Extra as a listener. And Tracy, as always, she says, as always, contact TracyEmertonVA.com for all your office personal administration. Thank you and hope you have a wonderful day.
And we also got the lovely people at Telcare wishing us a great show as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And what have we got here? Keep those tweets coming in. Pink Spaghetti, Emily, hello, good morning, Emily. It's always a delight to... I think Emily actually does more social media than me.
Mm.
I find they finally found somebody that possibly does more social media than me. So well done, Emily. Keep up the good work. Event-wise, there's quite a few bits and pieces coming up over the next couple of weeks. I mean, we joke about it, but seriously, there is not long until the end of the year. It's like another year is gone. We'll be in 2019 before we know it, which is great. Just keep on going.
2019. It's interesting, but with my risk management hat on, 2019 is, it could be a very interesting year.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, God.
It'd be very interesting. A lot of things could go right. A lot of things could go wrong.
Yeah, well, exactly. Shall we wait and see what happens?
Yeah.
I've had an email from the lovely Roland Stanley from Dragon Co-working in Chatham, and they co-working run several different types of events over there, and they've got quite a few coming up over October, November. So I'm going to read out a couple. They have got Waffle 5. So they do their Waffle, which is a networking event for non-networkers. Basically, you get to go along. They have a fresh waffle making bar and you eat your waffles and you waffle to other businesses while you're doing it.
Well, I think the waffle is more the food and less the talk, isn't it?
No, I think waffle, two types of waffling. It is a free event.
Clear directed conversation and waffles.
Well, yeah, waffle. No, it's just waffling and waffling. Excuse me. It is on next Thursday, 18th at 4 p.m.
Busy day. My goodness. I know, 18th.
I know. We're going to keep you busy on the 18th. Sounds fantastic. And I know they go down really well. This is the fifth in the edition. It is sponsored by CreatorBot. So basically they're supplying the waffles. I don't think they're cooking them themselves. There is a company that come in and do the waffles. But it's a great get together at Dragon Co-working, which is at the St. George Hotel in Chatham.
Yeah, great venue.
So if you go to dragoncoworking.co.uk, you can book on for that. You must book on, because obviously otherwise they won't have enough waffles. If they don't know you're coming, you know, people book on and don't leave it till the day before. That could be, I'm going to not do that rant today. I'll do that rant another time. People booking on the day before the event.
Yes. Yeah. Leaving it to the short notice. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And then one more at Dragon is Dragon Bite is the 1st of November, 5 p.m. Join us for street food and an inspirational talk by Matthew Russell, co-founder of the Coppet Rivet Distillery. The Coppet Rivet Distillery, since being formed in 2012, have become a major tourist attraction in Kent and one of the England's best small batch distillers. They make amazing gin. And I just say from personal experience, they're son of a gun, which is, I can't remember how you describe it, but it can't be called a whiskey because it hasn't been matured long enough. So it's like a young whiskey.
Yeah, so it hasn't been in the barrel.
Yeah, it hasn't been in the barrel long enough, apparently. My friend Georgina is their sales coordinator and she knows all about it. But their son of a gun is lovely. Anyway, the Dragon Bite sounds really great. Food, I'm sure there will be some Copper Rivet gin and son of a gun. And their vodka is very nice as well. I just don't like gin. But that you can, it's just £20. And again, if you go to dragoncoworking.co.uk, you can find out more about how to book on for that. What have you got over there, Mark?
I've got a few, actually. Again, next Thursday, 18th of October, this is an all-day event, 9 to 3.30, Digital in Kent Conference 2018. So this is at the Quarter House in Folkestone. It's the 10th Digital in Kent Conference. Hold out of speakers, so get inspired. There are keynotes, there are bold talks, there are big ideas. Have a look online. That's digitalinkent.co.uk. and book yourself a ticket in Folkestone.
That's fantastic. There's loads of digital or social media events running out there. You've got another one. Another go and share that one with us
same
as well.
Day, on the same day, but a different part of the world. So it's not in Folkestone. This one's in Chatham. Jack and Co-working again.
Oh,
they're busy.
They do loads of good stuff there. Yeah. It's great.
So this is ZC Social Media Academy, Thursday the 18th. It's an afternoon event, 2:30 till 4:30 at Dragon Co-working in Chatham. To book your free place, it's www.zcsocialmedia.co.uk. So that's Zoe Cairns. There are all sorts of things happening there. Basically, a 15-minute Q&A session at the end of the meeting. Bring plenty of business cards, lots of opportunities. Tea and coffee, not just coffee. There's tea and
good,
coffee.
Good, that's fine, as long as there's tea and coffee.
And Zoe Cairns as well, who is always great to be around. Very, very fascinating lady, knows loads.
They're always great because it's about I think with social media, one of the most important things is keeping up to date with what's going on and how you can keep on top of...
What's up, what's down.
Yeah. Exactly. What's new, what's in, what's out, and all those type of things.
Can we still do MySpace?
And Google Plus apparently shut down now or shutting down.
Yeah, Google Plus.
Who ever used Google Plus? Come on.
A lot of two people in the States did. Actually.
Did they?
Yeah, I'd still want to do Pinterest. So I've been it's on my to-do list for about 5 years now.
But it's one of those things with social media. It's what suits your platform, and Pinterest for the creative industry. Absolutely. So the homemaking, handmade industry, Pinterest is fantastic because it's great.
Because people collect the images.
Exactly, and gets you great ideas.
I've got one last event.
Yeah,
Monday the 22nd of October in Maidstone. So this is Breaking Big. I think that's a pun on Breaking Bad. So it's actually Breaking Big with Maidstone Borough Council. Monday the 22nd of October, 2 till 4 at the Business Terrace in Maidstone, which is all the way up there in the gods at Maidstone Borough Council. This is a seminar to show you how to review your business and consider where it should be going for your long-term aspirations. So it's a business review process. To book, go to businessdoctors.co.uk or www.businessinmaidstone, all one, businessinmaidstone.co.uk, and look for events.
Fantastic. See, loads of stuff for you people. There's a couple more nights. Oh, no, there's one more. Did I do that? No, I didn't know. So there is a couple more events here from Roland at Dragon. So on the same night...
Does he sleep?
I don't think he sleeps. Dragon Bite, and then followed by the Dragon Bite, a little bit later on, is the Dragon's 10, and it's called About Lead Generation. So it's on the 1st and it's at 6:30, and they've got 10 great speakers all giving 10 minutes of advice on not just how to generate leads but how to effectively turn them into businesses. That's just £10. If you go to dragoncoworking.co.uk, again, you can find it on there. And one final one for Dragon. Now, I love the way that he's done this press release, because this evening is called something that we can't say on air. So he's put the title as Failure Night.
Sleep machine.
Exactly, it's Failure Nights for Radio. So it's got in brackets Failure Nights for Radio rather than what the actual event is called. Midway Volume 2 is on 16th of November, 7 p.m. After the success of Volume 1, Volume 2 will be even bigger and better. We have another 4 great speakers, all willing to share their business failure experiences. They're combined with more live bands, gourmet hot dog snacks and drinks, all included. It'll be a great night. So the Failure Nights. It was really quite interesting, actually, because it was nice to hear. It's always, I think, and something I think we touched on last week, so many times you see people's great stories on social media, and it's lovely to see how well everybody's doing. But sometimes you're like, I want to know that people are suffering, are struggling, are failing, because then you don't feel so alien. Because you know what? Running a business is not easy, and you have your up days and your down days and good days.
It's an interesting time because it was World Mental Health Day on Wednesday.
Yes.
And you went to an event.
Yes.
And there were a couple of events around it. I'm not even going to go there. but I think one of in business, basically, there's this ethos that you have to, or philosophy that you have to fake it until you make it.
Mm.
So, of course, that puts pressure on. You've got to put this front out to the world that even if things are not going well, they've got to look as though they're going well.
Mm.
And I think that is because people are not being themselves or not allowed to be themselves and say, well, actually, things aren't necessarily going that well for the business at the moment. We've got leads in, got a huge amount coming down the tracks, but nothing at the moment. But because you can't necessarily say that in public, you can't put that on. Nobody wants no bad news on social media, unfortunately. there's this disconnect between what's the reality and the public persona. Mm. And that puts huge amounts of pressure on your mental health, actually, I think. That's probably one of the worst things. And also then if you have staff and you have cash flow and all this, there is a massive stress because the buck stops with you. If you're the founder, if you're the director, you have people looking to you to provide regular cash flow, regular salary payments, payroll, and all that. So yeah, it's such a big stress.
And I think that's the thing. There needs to be somehow, we need to find the fine line where when something really good happens, say, yes, you know, this happened, it was great. And then when you're having a bit of a tough time, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if you need to post it out on social media, but sometimes what's nice on social media is say, you know what, I'm having a day. So people can go.
It should be allowed.
So yeah, people can go, not judge you and go, oh yeah, me too. And everyone can
hashtag
just
hashtag time out or something.
I was going to start this the other week, and I think maybe we should start this trend. Fess up Friday. You know, fess up Friday. What went wrong?
No, in business, you know, things don't go well all the time.
No, exactly. And it's nice to know.
There's pressure on social media to pretend that it does. You know,
it's not. I don't think it has to be a ha ha. You failed. I think it just needs to be a. You know what? Yeah, I've had a shit week as well, and this has happened. Just so you know, as a business owner, that you're not the only one out there that's suffering and struggling and all those type of things. So,
oh, absolutely. And I also think there is a philosophy that basically fail, 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 because you learn from your failures. So it is actually not just allowed, but there are these American self-help gurus who've written whole books. There's whole shelves in Waterstones devoted to fail fast, fail often, fail early. Get it out of the way. Yeah. Learn from all that, all that activity, and then you're only going to improve, because you can only really run a business by running a business.
Yeah. But also with that, also know that, you know, when you do fail, it's all right to be upset about it. Because I think that's the thing as well. You get so much, you know, you have to fail and you have, you know, it's fine to fail and you learn from it, which is all very true.
And it's
but it doesn't stop.
You can grieve a little
bit. Exactly.
Well,
it doesn't stop you being upset that something you've worked really hard at doesn't work.
Because it's a personal project. It's
exactly.
Very often,
you put everything into it.
Yeah, it's very personal. It's your personal skills that you've spent, brand, you know, chosen things. You've chosen interior designs for your shop, or know people who sort of, you know, run bars in the past, and they've gone to all the trouble of, you know, making the right specifications for all the furniture, for all the fittings, you know, ordering the drinks in. 6 months later, the lease is put up and they can't afford to maintain it. So it goes. And they grieve. You know, there is actually a grieving
process.
Exactly.
And I think that's the other thing. You should be, you know, you fail, grieve, obviously, but then
But you need to tell people that you're grieving.
Exactly.
And actually, or, you know, because otherwise people don't know what's going on. It's like, you're a bit depressed as well.
It's like something, I said something the other day, I'm a bit stressed. Well, what are you stressed about? But they were just concernedly asking why was I stressed. But to me, it sounded like, well, you've got nothing to be stressed about, so why are you stressed? But that's not what they were saying. Yeah. It's like, stress. I run a business. Everyone runs a business is in stress. Anyway, it's going to be one of those shows today where we're just going to carry on chatting, Mark. But I think, well, let's have a bit of musical interlude.
Oh, we've got to go to track coming up.
We need to go to track, and then we need to hear your story now. So the music coming up, Mark and I chose together, but it's a bit of a tentative link here to Mark's stories coming up.
Well, it's got the world in.
Exactly. All around the world.
And it's not the jam version. So
no. And we'll be back right after this. Don't go nowhere.
I don't know where my baby is, but I'll find him somewhere, somehow. I've got to let him know how much I care. I'll never give up looking for my baby.
Too much time. Now I'm hearing crying. affordable way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 12th of October. I am joined in the studio today by the fabulous Mark Goldfinch.
Hello, Amanda. Hello, everybody.
And just me and Mark in the studio today. And we're on one, aren't we, Mark?
Echoes.
We've got plenty to say, so we don't need any more guests. We've been having good old conversations. So if you did miss the first part of the show, don't worry, you can catch up later. But we've been talking events, we've been talking planning events, and I've been giving a few tips, and we've been having a bit of a rant and a rave and everything. Social media. And
you have?
I have, yeah.
I've just been here, you know, listening. It's on the receiving end.
No, you was giving your opinion.
Sorry,
passionate opinions.
We must call them passionate opinions.
But it has been a great beginning of the show, but we want to now hear all about Mark's. Mark has been co-hosting for 6 months now. I can't believe it's been that long. It goes so fast.
And I'm the mystery voice because nobody knows about
exactly.
me.
Exactly. So it's time to find out all about Mark. And now we have got 25 minutes to get your story, which is a very long, it's not long, but there's lots
Once
really interesting. Exactly. When I was young.
let's go that far back.
Let's start straight away with the important thing. Do your shout out
yes,
so we don't forget, because you have got a shout out.
Yeah, I've got a shout out for a really talented colleague of mine, Azhar, who is listening to the show live in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, we've gone global again.
Yeah, and I did an amazing project in August for a lady called Lisa Wolf Associates, based in Folkestone, who is working with Ashford Borough Council to help Syrian refugees. And as part of that, she wanted lots of things translated into Arabic. So basically, I helped Azhar. She translated the stuff into Arabic for me, based in Sydney. Mm-hmm. So basically, and Azhar is originally from Iraq.
Wow.
So we had Azhar from Iraq working in Sydney, working with me and Deal to help Lisa in Folkestone help Syrian refugees in Ashford.
Fantastic. Like, how amazing is that? And that
I absolutely loved it. And the results were amazing.
I bet. Oh, so. Fantastic. So that leads us. Okay, so we need to get to where you are now, but obviously the languages and all that. So you've got really, I think you often downplay it, but I think you have got an amazing background history.
Yeah. I've got a rant about languages. I won't get into that just yet.
Yeah, but you've worked obviously abroad. You speak many different languages. So where did it start? Where did you begin, let's say?
I think basically it stems from me being on the coast. So I'm from Deal. Mm. You can see France most of the days. Most
Lovely.
Days you can see France.
Yeah.
So when I went to secondary school in Dover, I started learning French, and I discovered I had a passion for languages. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. You know, basically you can communicate not just in English, but you can communicate in other languages as well. You know, and you don't have to know very much to get quite a long way.
Fantastic, yeah.
You know, 100 words will get you quite a long way. So cut a long story short, I ended up studying Arabic when I left school. So
as you do. Okay, so don't go past that. Why Arabic?
Because I didn't want to do a European language, but there was that. But it was also I joined the army, so I joined the Army Intelligence Corps as a linguist. And at the time, basically, they had two choices: you could either learn Russian or Arabic. And at that time, this is so long ago, there was still the Soviet Union and a nuclear war.
No, really, no.
So basically, the life expectancy, the choice was either cold in a German border, you know, Northern Europe, cold winters, or Cyprus.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Beaches, 2.5 years in Cyprus. So I had 3 summers. So basically, I did a posting in Cyprus for 2.5 years, 3 summers, 2 winters, and even the winters are quite nice. So skiing in Troodos, water skiing. You could almost do it the same day as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, and then effectively travelled all around the Middle East.
So did you learn the Arabic before you went into the army?
No, they taught me.
So basically you went into the army, chose what you wanted to do, and then you learned the Arabic.
Yeah, they taught me very badly.
Really?
It was an 18-month course. It shows how wasteful it was. Basically, 12 of us began, 12 of us picked. After 18 months, two of us finished the course.
Really?
It's a massive, massive attrition. So two of us finished the course.
And is it a hard...
squad photograph. I insisted we had a squad photograph. Yeah. So it's basically the trainers outnumber the two of us who passed out. Yeah, so.
But is Arabic a hard language?
It's not just one language. So basically it's like Latin and all the dialects like Portuguese and Spanish. And So it depends which you learn. It is a hard language because it is so different from English.
Yes.
You know, the order of the sentences are different. Yeah. The culture is completely different. You know, when you learn a French or a European language, we have cultural references.
Yeah.
So, you know, a church, cars, you know, lots of cultural similarities. When you look at Arabic and non-European languages, there are massive cultural differences, which mean that actually you have to learn those as well as the words.
Yeah.
And then you have to learn all the nuances.
Yeah. It's not like just learning the language, is it? And like translating literally directly from English to Arabic. Yeah.
Yes. And basically lots of alien things like how, you know, we come from a fairly secular culture where families are quite small. And that's not the case in... Well, certainly when I started, I think it's become a bit more secular and a bit more families become a bit smaller. But the massive extended families, so that people actually know their relatives to a degree that we don't generally in the UK.
Yeah.
So. And they have, you know, second cousins, third removed on the father's side. Yeah. So there's, you know, an enormous amount. I was in the Gulf War, so I got a Gulf War medal.
So what part did you? Was you actually a on the intelligence side when you was out in the Gulf?
Yeah, I was in Nam, right, Cheltenham, during the Gulf War. It's such a lame joke. I don't know why you say it now. It's just going to become habit. Yeah, but I was in Cheltenham during the Gulf War at GCHQ, I can't say what I did, but I did some stuff.
Oh, I like it. Whoosh, send me off air.
And then after that, basically, I went to university, got a first in Arabic and Middle Eastern studies, went to Egypt.
So you found a passion. You found a passion for it then, did you, by learning the Arabic?
You really immerse yourself.
Yeah.
Because there's always more to learn. I think, you know, even now, you know, 30 years later, so you're still learning.
Mm.
You know, it's there's more to learn, more dialects to learn. There's more about the culture, more about the religions, more about the people in the places. So I wrote a book on Egypt, for example. I wrote a history of Egypt back in 2002 from all the research that I'd done in the 90s. Because I worked out, I visited pretty much everywhere in Egypt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In the 90s. I was in Egypt for 2.5 years as a civilian.
Right. So
firstly, did a year as a student and then a year and a half as a teacher at the British Council.
Right.
In Cairo, and went around on the trains and the buses and a couple of hire cars. But this is in the 90s, early 90s. It was very, I wouldn't say primitive, but it was still like the 1950s.
Right.
It's utterly transformed. You know, a lot of Egypt's utterly transformed now. You know, it was before email, before social media.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go down to, if you wanted to do an international phone call, you had to walk down to the central telephone exchange in the town, book a call, go to a little booth, then the phone would ring and they'd make the line for you and then you'd have your call and then you'd build by the minute. Yeah, it's down to the central, down to the trunk calls. You know, it's those were the days, basically.
Yeah, it's changed a lot now.
Yeah, all the mobile and internet and everything, that's all just as we have here.
Mm.
So an awful lot of time spent in the Middle East. Was in Iraq for 4.5 years as a civilian. As well, working with the British and then with the Americans.
Right. And what sort of things were you doing out there?
Well, I started I did a year as civilian interpreter with the British and Danish forces in the south, in Basra. So I was going out to council meetings and tribal meetings with the local population to interpret with British military officers or reconstruction teams, military training teams. And that was a lot of fun, but it did get quite dangerous.
Well, I was going to say, was it still quite war-torn at that time, or was it?
It actually got worse as I was there. So basically, I went in 2015, and I was there for a year, basically. So and that was a time when it started to get quite violent and the various insurgencies began.
Right.
And then I was hired to do a job in Baghdad, or just outside Baghdad. And I was there for three and a half years.
Right.
So, yes. My commute was thousands of miles a month.
Yeah, you commuted to work?
Yes. Yeah. That was an extraordinary job because basically the result of it was, I thought, you know, I saw the results of what we did, basically, yeah. which is that one of the most ambitious communications projects I think ever attempted.
Really?
Yeah, it's in modern era, you know, forget all the Soviet propaganda and all that, but certainly in the modern era, this was actually it's something called strategic communications.
Right.
Which is basically what you're trying to do is change the minds of people at a population level. So this is, you know, massive resources put behind it, and very, very clever people working out, well, actually, what is the strategy here? Where do we want these people to, what is the end result? What are the objectives we want to achieve from all this effort from the strategic communications project? And that was such an amazing grounding. I've always sort of tended to look at things strategically and communication strategically. When you're a linguist, you tend to plan what you're going to say in advance. So the segue into strategic communications is you're planning, but this is so intricate, so intense, and so much resources behind it that really can only be attempted at government level.
Well, I was going to say, you mentioned that it was about changing people's mindsets.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing to do.
Generally, away from violence and towards peaceful outcomes.
But yeah. But
it did work.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and I guess the importance on the getting it right and saying it right and putting it across the right is so, as you say, because of their culture and the way you say things. If you say, I mean, I lived in Greece for 8 years and my Greek was terrible and I offended a lot of Greeks sometimes, not intentionally, just the tone or how I said something. And I guess obviously it's a lot more vital in those occasions.
I learned a bit of Thai. I lived in Thailand for a little while.
So hence the All Around the World song.
Yes. So I did a gemology course in Bangkok for 6 months full time, and tonal language. So I'm not very musical. We're Chinese, Thai is related to Mandarin or Cantonese, and it's a tonal language. So one of the students on the course, she was called Ma for short, which was for horse. And I said, hello, Ma, how are you doing? And she said, don't call me dog, because Ma, there's so many tonal variations you can have one syllable. And I couldn't hear it.
No.
And she was kind of saying, God, why can't you hear this?
I bet not ever learn that language. And I wouldn't be able to hear that either.
Pick your language, be careful. Yes. Yeah. And so, Greek, yeah, so Kalimera.
Kalimera.
Yeah, so it's...
Diganis.
Oh, I don't know. You're going to
I lost you there. Lost you there. Don't worry, I didn't swear, people.
Okay. There was no bleep machine on.
No, so bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah. It's interesting because I was in Cyprus. So, yes. And obviously there's a, you know, so we have that sort of in common
Greek
as well.
Cypriot, yeah. Isn't it?
And so were you in Athens or were you?
No, I was on the island of Kefalonia.
Okay.
Which is off the mainland in between Zakynthos and Corfu.
Okay. I don't know that. Cyprus is a lot further east. So, and actually Cyprus is a very interesting place because it's very British.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have the, what was then the illegal Republic of Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, which is Turkish. And then obviously the Greek Cypriots in the south.
Fantastic.
So it was, very, very interesting. And I never learnt Greek either, but I had the excuse that I was learning Arabic.
Exactly. I tell you what, you won't want to get those two languages mixed up for sure.
No, definitely not.
For sure not.
Yeah.
So then you've learnt all these languages and you've lived in these amazing countries. So then you came back to the beautiful Deal.
Yeah, well, Deal's always home, you know. It's a very special place, but it's also, I think, it was a particular set of circumstances when I had 4.5 years in war zone from effectively 2005 until 2011. Stretched out. You don't want to go to big built up areas, cities. You know, you want somewhere peaceful, a bit old fashioned, and also I kind of wanted to get back into my culture.
Yeah.
And I think as British people, we forget that actually we do have culture.
Definitely. I think only living abroad that you actually appreciate the British culture a lot.
Yeah, if you're
more
in the midst of it, you kind of take it for granted. Yeah. You take all this, you know, the history and everything, the politicians that we have, the media, the free press, our sort of liberal institutions and all this. You know, basically we take it all for granted. But actually, you go, and it's actually quite rare in other parts of the world where it hasn't necessarily been established for this long, or it's these institutions are quite young. And yes, it's so going back to Deal was a good move, basically. It wasn't quite live happily ever after, because you still have to earn a living for
well, exactly. You are. But that's where you've now. I mean, we unfortunately look at the time. We're running out of time already.
It's
flying by. But we want to hear about your new venture at the moment, because you've finally managed to find a way, hopefully, to bring in your language skills and your passion for language skills and that international trade and working. You know, so I guess so many people in business are very insular and they only look within Kent or within the UK, but obviously any business can be global if you have something to, you know, to sell abroad or use abroad. So.
Absolutely. In this day and age, the tools to sell abroad, I've written a number of books and I sell those directly from my website. As an e-commerce platform. Mm. But no, so the those of you who know me know that I've most recently, the last couple of years, been using, actually set up a marketing consultancy called Drive Your Marketing, and amongst other things. So I help SMEs actually strategize, prioritize marketing individual activities right the way up to strategy. I'm still doing that. What I've also done this year is international business partnerships with my business partner, Bill Fox. And International Business Partnerships is a training company and a business consultancy. And it is focused on getting businesses don't have to be international immediately, but businesses should be ambitious about becoming world class. Even if you do business just in Kent or in the UK, in the domestic market, be as best as you can in all aspects, from corporate governance through to cash flow. As good as you possibly can be as a business. That will get you to world class, and then you can choose whether you actually want to do international business. Then,
I guess the thing is, what people don't, as we said before, people don't actually realise that they could possibly get. Why not have international clients that you work with and take your business? There's no reason why not. There's no barriers that can't be got through. To help you work, and that's what you're doing with this.
It's about establishing trust. So basically, you know, there's an awful lot of people who are worried that they'll be ripped off, or they'll lose money, or they'll lose face, possibly. You know, that if you don't know other languages, it's okay. A lot of people do speak English abroad.
Well, it is actually still the international language, isn't it? English.
It is.
Everywhere you go, if you're dealing in business, there'll be people that speak English. But then also, I guess when you get people, if you're working with particular countries, you can then get interpreters involved or people that know the language and the cultures to help you as well.
And I mean, one of the things that we do is international business partnerships. We do the two things. So we do the training and the coaching to get business owners, directors, managers to be confident about their own business, because without that, you can't, unless you're confident about your own business and you've got a functioning business, you can't get help from, for example, the Department of International Trade, export advisors, that you need to be a functioning business before you do that. So we help get businesses to that level. We also do country briefings, city briefings for businesses or even travellers, you know, for tourists as well. My speciality is obviously in the Middle East, all the way from Israel, Turkey, all the Arab countries, from Morocco to Oman.
Fantastic.
I could also say things about Pakistan, Southeast Asia and so forth, but we are short of time.
We are short of time. Yes, I know. It's
where has this hour gone?
I know. Trouble me and you to get together. That's it.
We have gas waffling.
but we've been learning about you, which is great. And I know that your story is a lot more intricate, but obviously we haven't got time today. But it's great that
you've brief.
Well, that was the brief rundown of Mark's history. But working abroad and the passion for languages, and I think it's great that you've set up this new venture. So obviously you do still do the marketing. Which is great, but it's nice to have another little branch to what you do.
I've always wanted to do something which involves languages.
Yes.
We have big plans for 2019. So what we've started with this year is, you know, just at a sort of small level, you know, sort of baby steps at the moment, but big ambitions for, you know, to actually create a new community in Kent. For all the language people.
That's fantastic. And I guess that's the thing, and there's people all over the place, because Kent, the South East, is such a big area. it's great to bring these people in and then get them together. That absolutely. There's other companies out there in the same sort of mindset that want to work, who want to go global at the end of the day.
Want to go global, yeah. Mm. But the main thing is being confident in your own business, in your domestic market, and then choosing whether you want to go global or not. But we're here to support at every stage.
That sounds fantastic. So give us a shout out where people can find you and find out more about everything that you're doing.
Yes, you can go to my personal site, which is goldfinchdigital.co.uk, and then you can choose which site you'd like to go to. Internationalbusinesspartnerships.co.uk is the full. Twitter, it's IBP UK, and also my old
Drive Your Mark,
and it's Drive Your Mark here,
Drive Your Mark, personal, at Drive Your Mark
Twitter,
his personal Twitter,
and obviously find me on LinkedIn, find me on Facebook, and so forth.
Mark is very good on digital and social media too, so you'll find him everywhere. Not yet on Pinterest.
As good as you are,
not yet on Pinterest, but working your way up to Pinterest.
It is on. It's always number 5 on my to-do list.
And you know what? We've got 1 minute. I want to quickly touch on the books that you've written, because you've got quite a few little books out there. Little books.
They're practical help guides. So basically practical workbooks. One is 365 daily meditations on marketing. So basically a little question and you think about it for 5 minutes. The end of that, you've effectively done an 8-day marketing course.
Really?
Yes.
I want this book.
So granular. And the other one is my marketing MOT, 50 questions that really every business owner, manager, director should be able to answer about their business marketing.
It's good. And it helps to be clear. And as we said before, at the beginning of the show, planning and strategizing what you do is vital.
It's so important. But people think of it as an extra. It should be just
part
like
of.
Breathing, it basically, is. For your business.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And we're here to help you.
Fantastic.
You with events and me with the marketing.
Exactly. So. There we go. Right team we've got here. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Glad we got to hear more about you. And if you do want to hear more about Mark, then please do get in touch with him. If you have any business marketing questions or Arabic questions for that matter.
I do. Well, like I said, there's the country and city guides, which includes culture, language, business, and security and tourism and all sorts. So yes, pretty much ask me and I've probably been there.
Fantastic. Now we have come to the end of another great show. I've really enjoyed the show. We've had so much fun today.
Yeah, it has been fun.
It's been great. Yeah. We've covered a lot. How many different areas? We've done events, we've done digital, we've done marketing, we've done world travel, we've done the army, we've done
music.
We've done
weather, scales,
and how to get global domination with your business. Coming up on next week's show, I have hopefully got another exciting show lined up. I've got the fabulous Molly Wright from Molly Moodle Media and Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence coming
fantastic.
In. I've got them two, both of them in next week. Yeah. And we are going to have a social media cybersecurity special.
Mashup.
So we're going to really help you keep your business safe. Don't miss that. Don't forget to listen to Paul's show on Tuesday from 1 to 3. He's got another great lineup of guests.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Keep warm and we'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.
Channel 2.